everybody. This is the Rorschach Argentina update, except you'll notice it's not the Rorschach Argentina update. It's a Rorschach Argentina ramble, the first one that we've ever held, hopefully the first of many. This is something that that we've done in a couple other countries where we just chat with, you know, cool, smart, insightful, interesting people and ask a bunch of random questions and get their thoughts on the country that we're talking about, Argentina, for this one. We have Valeria and Manuela. I will allow them to introduce themselves, and then we'll get going. This in no way replaces the updates, which if you're getting this, either you got the link somehow, fantastic. We hope you'll subscribe to the updates, or you already subscribed to the updates and this all of a sudden showed up. We hope you enjoy it and you tell a bunch of people. All right, Valeria, let us know who you are.
Hello, I'm Valeria. I am a Spanish English translator. I also hold a degree in copy editing. Also, I have a master's degree. It's a master's in linguistics, in applied linguistics. And I recently finished a postgraduate course at Rutgers in bilingualism and language acquisition.
Fantastic. And where in Argentina are you from and do you live now?
I'm based in Buenos Aires, and that's all I can talk about. I've visited a lot of places in Argentina, but I can tell you a lot about Buenos Aires. A beautiful city.
All right, Manuela.
Hi, how are you? Well, I'm Manuela Roche. I'm a PhD student in developmental psychology. I'm also a master's student in learning psychology, and I teach at the University of Buenos Aires. I teach learning psychology. I know in Europe it's not that common to study a master's and a PhD at the same time. Here it is. Most of people is finishing their thesis since they start the PhD. That's the place I am right now. I'm from Bahía Blanca, which is a city in the south of Buenos Aires, in the province of Buenos Aires, but I live in Buenos Aires. I studied here and I stay here.
Fantastic. And have either of you, out of curiosity, lived outside of Argentina?
Go ahead, Andre.
Well, just for a while in the U.S., last year, actually. I was at Rutgers University. So that's the only time I lived abroad, because my master's degree is from Aston University, but it was done by distance learning.
Fantastic. Right, New Brunswick, Rutgers, New Brunswick?
Exactly. Yeah.
Great. And Manuela?
Not for a long time, but I was an au pair in Paris in 2021. And in the south of France, and then I've been traveling around, but not actually living anywhere else than here in Buenos Aires or Bahía Blanca.
Got it. Fantastic. So I appreciate that. I want to start out kind of big picture, out of curiosity, and talk about Argentinians themselves. Valeria, how are Argentinians different from other Latin Americans? What is it that makes Argentinian culture or worldview different from other people in South America?
Okay, I wonder if it's that different from the rest of Latin America, because I've met many people from Latin America. I don't think they're that different from us, but I can say that Argentines are very friendly. We are really interested in learning about other cultures. I think we're very, very welcoming. We love foreigners. I think we do. Currently, there are many foreigners in Argentina, and people are willing to learn more about them and share with them. And if there's something that might define us, is that we like to have an interesting lifestyle, and people love to socialize. And I think one of the things, I don't know if you, Manuela, agree, but at least Buenos Aires, but I know for the rest of the country this is also true, we are really interested in acting, drama. So this is, I think, one of the cities with the largest ratio, people to theater ratio. So you can find anything here, from mainstream plays to, I don't know what you call it, fringe theater. There's, I mean, something for everyone. I think that's pretty distinctive. I don't know what you would say, Manuela.
I think that Cotroy, it's a very enriching city. There's a lot to do in any kind of aspect that you would like to know about, or there's something interesting to do every day in Buenos Aires. Yeah,
uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. And for free, you know, there's a lot of activities. I mean, I don't know, you want to take dance lessons or I don't know, whatever. There are lots of free options.
I mean, free because that are initiatives by individuals or that are paid for by the government.
I don't know if you're that different from the rest of Latin America. I agree with that, because when I was
And what do you think, Manuela? I mean, what differentiates Argentinians as a culturally as a group from the rest of Latin America?
But I don't know. I think we're very talkative. We really love to talk about ourselves. I think that's very characteristic of Argentinian people. But I think that makes us very, I don't know, it's easy for us to make friends. We can like make a good relationship with anyone in just a few minutes or a few hours. So I think that's a great thing for people that comes here. I think it's very easy to just go to a bar and meet someone and make friends. And it's true that there's always something to do here. So it's not that, I don't know, it's a Friday and it's 8 o'clock and you don't know what to do. You can just go show up at some bar and you'll meet someone and you'll have a nice afternoon without having to plan it before it. And it's true that we do have
my experience is the same, and where I live there's a lot of Argentinians, and I find that they're, you know, an extremely friendly friendly bunch, that you know, aligns with everything I've seen.
I think we're very curious, you know, and that's why I believe maybe we like foreigners, because we're interested in learning about other cultures and other lifestyles.
Well, okay, this is like, you know, fantastic and good, you know, and great to hear. So let's, you know, maybe visit the dark side a little bit. why is Argentina, which has, you know, incredible, you know, as they used to call back in the 20th century, natural resources, you know, I mean, huge agricultural production. It's got like this massive, you know, I don't know, shale, whatever that is, you know, thing. And they got, you know, I don't know, like in terms of natural stuff, it's got a lot of incredibly educated population. It's beautiful. Like, why is Argentina not richer? I mean, you know, if ever there was a country designed to be a rich country, you know, and I don't know, 130 years ago, it was pretty rich. Like, you know, like why is it not rich? Like, what's the story there?
Mark, boy, if I knew the answer to that question, I would not be here, right? I have no idea. I don't know how to answer that question. Sometimes I have a very, I think, there's always a very simple answer to situations. There should be something simple to it. And I think one important thing, you know, when you have a business, people say location, location, location. And so we're really far away from everyone else. And this is a very large country. This is the, I think, the eighth largest country. Exactly. So long distances and being really, really far away from the rest of the world are two important problems. There are many other problems in Argentina, and I don't want to bother you with that, but I think another problem may be transportation. Actually, transportation being a large country, we need good ways to get from one place to the next, and we don't have that. Whether it is by coach, by train, by plane. Well, we do have planes, of course, but everything is very expensive, and not transportation is not really good. I don't know what you think, Manuela.
Yeah, well, there's a phrase here that's Dios está en todos lados, pero atiende en Buenos Aires, which would be translated to God is everywhere, but its office is in Buenos Aires. We are a very large country, and everything is here in Buenos Aires, and then it's very difficult to have access to many other things all around the country in provinces that are very far away from here. We have to travel many, many hours to get to some point in the same province, maybe. And then I also, it's not a simple answer, as Andrea said, but I think that a lot of it has to do with politics and with the organization of the country and how we manage to like take advantage of the natural resources and the human resources that we have. So I think that has a lot to do with how Argentina is right now.
I think Manuela made an excellent point, right? This is not a truly federal country. Everything is concentrated in Buenos Aires. She's absolutely right.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's, you know, you can, you know, one of the, you know, zillions of binaries for countries is those in which there's this sort of, you know, incredible preeminent capital, like, you know, for, you know, France is, it's Paris, right? I mean, that's where the action is. I mean, correct French is in fact just the Parisian dialogue of, you know, the Parisian dialect of French, and everybody else is told they speak incorrect French and you know, whatever. Whereas, you know, that's not the case in Germany. I mean, Germany's got, you know, a bunch of pretty important cities. The U.S. has a bunch of pretty important cities. You know, Russia, it's Moscow. You know, okay, fine. You know, St. Petersburg for the, you know, canals and art and museum. But really, it's just Moscow. And everything else is everything else. And that, I don't, that's, you know, causes, has consequences. You know, of course, there are some pretty wealthy countries that do have a preeminent, you know, capital. But, you know, maybe not to the degree that Buenos Aires dominates Argentina. But that's interesting about transportation. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, Valeria.
No, but what you were saying is interesting because actually in those cases, in those examples you have given, those cities have their own distinctiveness. So it's not that they're just capitals. They have something in particular, right? So I was just talking to somebody from Germany, and he lives in Köln, and then there's Bonn, and there's another capital, I forgot, nearby, and each has something specific to offer to the country, to its citizens, something different, right? Something that defines them.
Manuela, you look a lot at university students and their, you know, their relationship with you know, politics, political identity, and all sorts of stuff like that, which is cool and I think a fascinating topic. And Valeria knows a lot about English language and the role that it plays, how people think about it in Argentine society. And so, like, well, I want to, like, ask you first, talk a little bit about what you study, because it's cool and interesting. And what, like, tell us about that. What are the takeaways for non-experts?
Well, I study developmental psychology in a group that's been studying it since a long time ago. My PhD advisor is Alicia Barreiro, which is in a group with Antonio Castorina. Maybe people from Argentina will know that name. And it's a group that's been studying how social knowledge is constructed. So I myself study how critical consciousness and civic engagement is develops. So I've been studying university students, and right now my investigation is around adolescents. And I study how they think about the society in which they live. So what I'm interested about is, like, we've seen that young people have a negative thought about society, about politics, and they, like, people say that they don't have much hope about future, but there's still a lot of young people who actually participate and are very active in wanting to change the society in which they live. So We were trying to understand why and what is their motivation to do so, to do that, and the cognitive reasons that takes them to be active and to actually wanting to want to make transformation in the society in which they live. So that's pretty much the.
Well, so what is it? What's the answer? I mean, why do they want
to? Yeah, we're still studying, but there's a lot to do with, and this is something that's been studied in the United States and Europe, but that's a very big problem here in Argentina. There's not much funding for research, and it's in social science, you need to do research in the place where you want to know things about, because, context is very important. So you cannot take results from United States or from Europe and expect them to be useful in some other place where culture is very different, where context is very different. So that's what why we are studying it here. There's not much investigation about this in Latin America in general. We don't have answers yet, but we do know that when you speak about critical consciousness and civic engagement, there's the reflection and there's the action, which means there's like the feeling of responsibility about what you have to do to be part of society and about the things you think are wrong and that you feel that you have to change something there. But then there's a lot of people who have this sense of responsibility, but don't feel that they can actually do something. So the second part is very important, the efficacy, I think it's the translation, the feeling that you yourself can do something, and that usually comes with being part of something that's collective. So, for example, here in Argentina, a lot of that happened with the abortion law. I don't know if that's the well translation of it, or with feminism in general or LGBT groups, where maybe you have this feeling that society is wrong in any aspect, and but you don't feel you can do something from your place. But being part of something that's way bigger, then you can actually do something. That's one of the conclusions that we've found.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
Let me get you to ask another, answer another question. As we move towards Valeria, I've lived in a bunch of countries that at various times, and this changes over time, but I've lived in countries where it feels like for everybody in the country, this is where the action is. This is where things are happening. It's an exciting time. People want to participate, whatever. And then there are other times where everybody just wants to get out of there, particularly young people. Like there is a feeling of, there's nothing for me here, that if you're smart, if you want to do something, if you want to make something happen in the world, you need to leave. And I have been in the same country in different decades that have those feelings. It can change. It's not, you know, it's not a way a place is. It changes over time. And often I found in a lot of countries, English language is very connected to that. That for people who want to leave, or people who are curious, or people who want to do something, like step number one is learning English. And so that's what I want to ask Andrea about. But first I wanted to ask Manuela that sense of like, do people want to leave, or is it like this feeling of, I cannot do anything here, I have to leave, or is it just different for everybody? And how does it, you know, how does that compare?
Well, again, I don't think there's a simple answer to that, because it depends on what you do want to do. It's not that common for people to speak English here in Argentina. That's something that people who come here should know. Buenos Aires may be the city with most of the English speakers, but then if you want to travel around the rest of Argentina, and even here in Buenos Aires, it's a very, like, it's something you should think about. Learn a little bit of Spanish before coming here. Then there is people who do use English as a tool to achieve what they want. And right now, for example, that, as I said, there's not much funding for investigation. Sadly, a lot of people who studies here in Argentina is going somewhere else to do their masters, their PhDs, because they don't have the opportunity to do that here. So English there is very important. But at the same time, there's a lot of research in Spanish that is not as well connected with English research as I think it should, because people who studies and reads and writes in English don't usually go study in other languages. And then we do have a huge amount of research in Spanish that maybe is not taken into account in other places. So yeah, I think English is a very good way to get to that point. But at the same time, I think it's always us that have to study English, and then it would be cool for people, for English speakers, to actually know other languages, and then for them to go and see what it is there to know from other places that don't speak English. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, that's definitely true. And it's a big, you know, it's a problem for English speakers, because speaking English as your native language is incredibly internationally convenient.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
of course.
It makes us stupid. I mean, there's, you know, there's nothing that makes you smarter than learning another language well, you know, and be, you know, for us, it's very easy to exist in a pretty large portion of the world in English without learning another, you know, without learning another language. Whereas, you know, for people who don't speak English, in big English speaking countries, you know, it's very common, for example, for, you know, an Armenian and an Iranian, two countries that border each other, to meet and speak English, right? I mean, that's a normal and natural thing that, you know, that people don't even think about. And, you know, it's a little bit weird, but what that means is if there's an English speaker from the United States or the UK and that, you know, in that group, they get to participate in their native language and nobody else does, you know, which is not, you know, great for our worldview. Anyway, Valeria, about English, like what for young people and the people that you deal with and from a perspective of bilingualism, like what are the incentives for Argentines to learn English? Is it the idea that it's, you know, to connect with the world in general, or is it something that you can do pretty, you know, cheaply? Is it something that parents want their kids to do so they pay for tutors? Or is it like viewed purely professionally, like as a way to get your CV looked at, or, you know, or a way that employers will just thin out applicants by just saying you have to speak English because they don't have a, you know, better idea. Like, why not? Even though they probably aren't going to speak English, they put that in there. Or where does it come from?
Well, it's a little bit of everything you've just said. English is necessary, not just for Argentines, but for all people all over the world because of what you just said. So that's very, very true. But my experience, and I have been teaching English for a very, very long time, and the truth is that what I see is that Argentines really love English. This is something, it's not just the need to do this. It's not just, as you said correctly, if you want to move on in your professional life, you need to speak English. Or Manuela was rightfully saying, I mean, if you write in Spanish, if your research is in Spanish, chances are people are not going to read it. But at the same time, the feeling I get is that people just like to speak English. They just like it. And if you think about our history, there are plenty of reasons for Argentines to dislike English, whether it is British or American, right? And still, I think there's a very strong interest in the language, not just because of its utility, right? Mark, if you allow me, I would like to pick up something you said. You said something like not learning another language makes us stupider. And you said that learning another language makes you smarter. And I think there's a lot to be said about that, because when you learn a language is something so basic to all of us, right? So pervasive, it really occupies everything around us, and we don't realize that. And when you learn another language, well, people say, I mean, sometimes you say, I would like to learn a new language, not necessarily speaking of a language, but speaking of rules, right? You have to go by different rules. And that's why learning another language can make you smarter, if you wish, right? Not really smarter in the sense that you can work out mathematical computations, right? But actually that you can think of ideas differently. Not just because when you're learning a language, you're learning about the culture, but you're also learning a different set of rules. And we humans tend to be very, very attached to the rules we know. This is a basic principle of survival. And when you need to change them, it's really, 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 really so hard. So, the two things are really, really important there.
Yeah, that's something at Rorschach that we have real questions about. I mean, we work in English. All of our updates are in English. You know, the three of us are speaking English right now, you know, and on the one hand, it's a very, very, it's convenient. You know, it's just convenient to just be able to have like one international language that you can, you know, that you can move around a lot, with. And you know, on the other hand, there is something of an international English speaking elite. And that's, you know, there's of the signifiers of elite, whatever it means, speaking English is, you know, is one of those things. You can look, you know, throughout Europe, and, you know, there is a correlation between English speaking and sort of, you know, general, education, often wealth, you know, freedom of movement, and all sorts of different things. Now, that's not to say that learning English will give you those things, but it puts you in a membership of a group that, you know, is, for lack of a better word, elite. And we don't want to be elitist. On the other hand, it's pretty convenient, you know? And so I don't know, we ourselves, you know, think about that a lot. To talk more about, you know, Argentina itself, outside of Buenos Aires, the two of you, you know, quite connected to it. If you were going to live somewhere else in a city, where would you live and why in Argentina?
Oh.
As myself or as someone from abroad that wants to come to Argentina?
Well, both. I mean, if, you know, both. I mean, let's say, for example, I was advising a young person who was saying, my Spanish, I've studied 3-4 years of Spanish. It's terrible. I'd like to speak Spanish. I'd like to go to Argentina. And what I said is, don't go to Buenos Aires because there's a bunch of English speakers and you can find a lot of people where you're from. And it's like, there's a whole expat scene, you know, and nothing wrong with it. And it's great. But like, go outside first to some place that, you know, that where there's going to be relatively few English speakers, and it'll be cheaper. And so if you were advising somebody, you know, like that to, you know, to go somewhere where there's a lot of cool people doing interesting things, you know, where would that be? What are possibilities?
Well, just first of all, I think Argentina is a great place to come if you are learning Spanish, because as someone who has studied other languages and went to France, to United States, and tried to speak in English or speak in French and be corrected, I think we are very nice with people who try to speak in Spanish, and we are very eager to teach them and to correct them, but helpfully. So I think it's a very nice place to study and to try to speak in other language. So do that. You should come to Argentina if you are studying Spanish. Then I would definitely come to Buenos Aires first, because even if a lot of people speaks in English, if you want to speak in Spanish, they'll help you. They'll allow you to make the effort. Then Hell City to live at. As I said, everything is here in Buenos Aires. Like, I myself love Buenos Aires. I'm not from here, but I really love living here. I would definitely live, I don't know, in Bariloche, but it's not cheaper. It's a very nice city in a very beautiful landscapes. I don't know, Cordoba, Salta. I think there are very nice cities. I wouldn't say they are way cheaper than here. Argentina, it's very expensive compared to other places around Latin America. But yeah, I would stay with Bariloche.
So, yes, I'm very close to Manuela, right? I would go to San Martín de los Andes, which is a lot quieter. Maybe the view is very, very similar. You have lots of trees, mountains, and lots of green everywhere, and flowers everywhere. San Martín de los Andes is a very, very beautiful city. At least that would be my choice, right? If I could go elsewhere. What Manuela says is true. The country tends to be quite expensive everywhere. And the further you are from Buenos Aires, sometimes the more expensive it is. And it's not just that. Maybe, I don't know, your internet connection fails because of the weather or for whatever reason, right? So maybe it can be difficult to live in places that are far away. And if you allow me, Mark, I want to say something about that friend of yours who studied Spanish for 4 years and says my Spanish sucks, or is horrible. I mean, of course. I mean, people think that they can study a language for 4 years and they're going to speak it. It takes a lot of time. You just have to be patient because learning a language is something you do for life. I mean, in the same way, I don't know, somebody who's a doctor learning about medicine, I mean, you will continue to learn throughout into your, adulthood.
And then there's no better way to improve it than actually trying.
Of course. So, and yeah, Argentina, we all agree that Argentina is a great place, very welcoming.
Yeah, I mean, I have found a, sadly, a great variance in people's ability to learn languages. I mean, some people are just very quick and some people are very slow.
Absolutely.
You know, I have found that, you know, the third and fourth are a lot quicker than your second language. You know, that's the tough one. Once you sort of understand the nature of different rules, you know, then you can sort of move on to,
Well, maybe Andrea knows better at this, but in my experience, it's very difficult to learn to think in another language. And then when you study your third language, then you already know how to switch your mind from Spanish to English or from Spanish to French. I think that's the tricky part.
Yeah, what helped me years ago when my Spanish was much better was that I lived with an extremely sarcastic family in Madrid that thought that it was hilarious that there could be somebody who didn't speak like, you know, puro castellano, and so they really made fun of me all the time, and so I needed to keep up with their public humiliation of me. Like I needed to learn Spanish, you know, and it kind of worked, like, you know, so I appreciated that. Okay. So I want to ask about, I have some thoughts about this, but I'm curious what natives would say. Like, what does the world have to learn from Argentina? What are things that Argentinians do right that the rest of the world could, you know, would do well to learn from?
Maybe that's too much to say, but I think Argentines really like to enjoy themselves. Maybe that's a good point, right? We really like to have a good time.
Yeah,
you know, maybe that's a good answer, but I don't know. That was a tough question.
Yeah. I would like to answer. I think that the thing that I like the most from Argentina is that we have public education. I don't know. I know that's not that common around the world, maybe in Europe, but not in the rest of the world. And I think that helps a lot. Like, there's when you go to university here, you actually meet people from many, many places. There's also this thing that to study, you have to move either to Buenos Aires or to any other big city, because there ain't public universities all around the country. But I think that's, for me, it was a very great experience and very enriching to actually meet people from all around the country and know people with very different life experiences. So I think that education, it's something that it still needs a lot of improvement, but considering how complicated we are in so many different aspects, I think education is something that with the little resources we've destined to it, we've been doing great. So I think it's something we have to do better, but still an example of how much can we do with so little. I think that's something else too. We can manage to do something great from not much. I think that's something we do right here in Argentina, in not only in education, but in technology.
Those are very good points. Sorry, I want to say something else here. This excellent point, Manuela. And regarding the second point, you mentioned something that many people say is that maybe, an engineer goes to live abroad and he realizes that in other countries, unless they have a special tool to solve a problem, they cannot solve the problem. Argentines will find a way around it. They don't need something. They're very creative in that respect. That's another very important point.
I remember many years ago having a very interesting conversation with a very successful Chilean doctor in London. And I have, just for the heck of it, for fun, I will very often when somebody says they're from one country, I'll ask them about a neighboring country, right? And so, I'm talking to a Chilean. I said, tell me about Argentina. And I'll never forget what he said. It was fascinating. He said, well, the funny thing is that Chile is better than Argentina in every possible way. It's a better country. It's just, the economy is better. The politics are better. Everything about Chile is better. But Argentinians are much smarter than Chileans. They have a much superior system of education, and they're, it's very often Chileans want to, hire Argentinians. And he sort of implied what you're saying, that Argentinians are resourceful. They can figure things out. They know how to do things. And he said, the fact that Argentinians are smarter than Chileans, but Chile is better than Argentina, like, really confuses me about the nature of the world. I don't know. I'm not sure what that means. And I said, I found it so confusing that I just moved to London, like, okay.
I don't know about that.
So my last question as we wrap up. So, for people visiting Argentina, they're coming there to live there, whatever else. Some small tips, not big tips, not like learn Spanish or go to be sure you talk to people. Little tiny tips, little things that people should know about wandering around Argentina and existing in that society that would be useful for visitors, for tourists, but also for people who are moving there.
I don't know. The first thing I would say is that even though we have said that we're friendly and warm and welcoming, it's also true that sometimes people like to take advantage of foreigners. So I would be careful. Sometimes there are different rates for foreigners, right? Sometimes they are ripped off, basically. That happens a lot in Argentina. So I would be careful about that. I think that's an important point. So I wouldn't be too trusting. So, I mean, that's difficult, right? Because I have told you that we're welcoming. But when it's business, when it's something maybe more serious, I would be a little bit wary of certain things. I haven't thought this through. I don't know. Do you have anything else, Manuela? I don't know.
Yeah, also in the streets. Sadly, there's a lot of pickpocketing, and I think that sometimes people is like, okay, as I am with people that makes me feel safe, so I'm just relaxed, and then I leave my phone in the table in a restaurant, and suddenly it's not there anymore. That happens a lot to people who comes from from other places to Argentina. Yeah, then be prepared to stay up all night, because I think that's something that in other places, like actually going out and staying out till 7 a.m. is not something somewhere else. And here we do that. So be prepared to stay awake all Friday and Saturday night if you want to, of course. But I think it's an experience that you should try here. Yeah.
All right. Any final words? Anything? Anybody should know? You want to leave the listeners with?
Do visit our places around Argentina, not only Buenos Aires. Iguazu is also very worth visiting. Like, do not stay only with Buenos Aires. And then, if you come here, do not think you can do all in 1 week, because it's a huge country. Like, it's as half Europe. So be prepared to stay here for at least 3-4 weeks if you actually want to know how Argentina is.
Well, I don't want to leave on a sad note, but I remember that sometimes people are not careful about the things they put in their cars, and they leave things in the open. I mean, you can see through the car that there's something in there. Probably there might be some problem there, so you have to be careful about that, really.
Yeah, well, plenty of places in the world, in the world. Yeah, I would guess. All right. Thanks, both of you, very, very much. That was fascinating. I learned a lot. I'm particularly excited about the places that you mentioned. We'll put those in the show notes so that people can find them easily. If they're looking around for places to live or visit or whatever else. Thanks again. Please, for those who are listening, if you're not sure where you are or what you're listening to, this is the Argentina Ramble, the first one we've ever done. Normally, we have an update in English, 10 minutes every week, about what's going down in Argentina. So thank you both very, very much for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you on the air.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you, Manuela. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
A pleasure to be here.